So chapter 6, who'd like to start? Let me tell you what verse. Chapter 6. All right. After, I think it starts with after. After these things. Chapter 6. Now, we actually, let's see, we're 26 maybe. Okay, 26. We already went over this, but I've been meditating on it. And I'm convinced this might be my most important message ever about, as a pastor, we're not changing the world. So we're not trying to fix the world up. It's not my job. It's just to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But this is the only reason that he came. And so 6:26. Who has it? Yes, Willis.
Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled."
Okay, so you seek me for the wrong reason. You seek me for the wrong reason. You think that feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, was a miracle, and indeed it was. But that's not why I came. I never came to do signs, wonders, and miracles. That's not why I was sent. And so you pick what's in my left hand, and I want you to pick what's in my right hand. You pick what's in my left hand, which is this world. What's in my right hand is heaven, heaven's gift. What is heaven's gift? What's the real miracle, not feeding the 5,000? Everyone would be impressed because they're children of this world. But God did not come for that reason. So why did he come?
Christ,
yes. But he has a specific reason why he came.
To forgive our sins.
To forgive our sins, yes. That's a miracle too. So that's not why he came.
To show us that he keeps his promise.
That he keeps his promise, yes. But what was the promise of God? This is so important because it's my whole ministry and it's my whole life. And it's the gospel. So what is the reason that God sent him to earth?
Redeem us.
Esteem. To redeem us, yes.
Kingdom in heaven.
What?
Establish the kingdom in heaven.
Establish the kingdom of heaven. All great answers. They're all true.
To make Christ all and in all.
Yes.
I'm trying to say it better.
Yeah. No, that's okay, because this is his teaching. This is the only.
Because he loves us.
Because he loved us.
So he wouldn't parent.
That's all true. So who knows the exact words that he wanted? Because you can't get this in any other place except Jesus coming.
To make Jesus known.
Yes.
To make the Father known.
Yes.
Galatians.
It's all true.
Galatians 2:20. He wants to take residence within us and in, out, and in. For us, in us, and through us.
Yes, that's true. All of that's true. All of that is true. But that is not why he came. So what is the real reason he came? Because you cannot get this without Jesus being here.
Show God's heart.
Yes.
To restore righteousness.
To restore what now?
Righteousness.
And peace.
Very close.
And judgment and justice.
Kind of. But not yet. Okay, let's say he forgave us, but there'd still be more left. So, why did he come? Okay, so I want you to understand the reason he came.
To make us new creations.
Very, very close.
establish the kingdom of heaven?
No. All right. He came that you might have
life.
Eternal life. You cannot get this from earth. This has to be a gift of heaven. The only reason he came, all of that you said is true. The only reason he came is that you might know for once and for all eternal life. You cannot do all the good works you talked about, forgiveness and all that, without having eternal life. So your regenerated heart is part of that eternal, everlasting life that you cannot get in any other way. So, and in fact, most of the world wants that. They want to be right with God. But only Jesus is the only source of eternal life. If you know him and the power of his resurrection, then everything else flows. What does everyone want in this world?
Happiness.
American dream, you know, happiness, peace, and so on. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. So the only way you can get it is to have not a god, an idol. The only way is Jesus Christ. He's the only source of eternal life. He's the true Son. He's the Son of the living God. So why did he come? The reason God sent him, for one reason only. All the rest are gifts. All the rest are works. All the rest are miracles. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that he came that you might have eternal life. Spirit, soul, and body. And that's what you meant, Dan, when you said for him, in him, through him. But you can't get that unless he gives that gift. How do you get that gift?
Faith,
not in yourself. Everyone here has self-faith. I believe in myself. I'm self-sufficient. I can do it on my own. No, it's not why he came. To give you gifts. No, didn't come to give you gifts. The only gift is eternal life. And you can't get it from anyone but him. You can't get it through Buddha. You can't get it through the Muslim religion. You can't get it through Judaism. You cannot get it in any other way but this one way. You have to be in relationship to Jesus Christ, who gives you eternal life. Now, can you then explain that to somebody? Because I'm sure they would say, he fed the 5,000, a miracle. People repented, a miracle. But the only reason he came was to give you eternal life. Okay, is that all clear? Why eternal life? Why does he want to give you eternal life?
Because he wants us with him.
Because he wants us to be with him eternally. No one else can give that to you. Eternally. You could have it now and then lose it. But this one is permanent. Once he gives you eternal life, and you don't help him out, you just let God be God. You just believe that everything you have is a gift of God. Let him do all that. But that's not why he came. He came that you might have that, because you don't have it now until you meet Jesus Christ. All right. So don't ever forget that. All right. So why did he come?
Eternal life.
That we might have. Not everyone has it. People hear him and they don't believe in him. They just believe that he could do it. If you're a good Christian, you might be nice. That's not why he came. He doesn't want you to be nice. He only came for sinners. He only came for people that don't deserve it. He never came for righteous people. Think not that I came for righteous people. He didn't come for that reason. He came for sinners to be forgiven, to have eternal life. So if you deserve it, he won't come. If you're righteous, he didn't come to reward you. That's not your reward. It's a gift. Pure gift. that you do not deserve. Okay, I wanted you to know that before I start out, because everything he's going to say from here on is going to be related throughout the whole Old, New Testament and Old Testament. This is the work of God that you believe on him. That's the 5th chapter, 29th verse. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God that you believe on him whom he has sent." Why did he send him? So that you might have eternal life. Now, how many value eternal life as something of great value? Do it. Yeah. So, his left hand could do a miracle here and feed you. But he'd have to feed you again and again. And then you die and then you don't have anything. So this one is not the miracle. The miracle is that you immediately have a regenerated heart. Not a soul, not a body. So he's not feeding the body. He's not wanting you to walk in holiness. He's wanting you to have eternal life so that then he could then change you into his likeness. He could change you so that you walk like him and are dead to yourself. Now, eternal life means your temporal life is over. So the minute you're crucified, then you can walk with God. But you have to be crucified to do it. So that's why people don't like it. Now, people don't want that. They don't want to die to themselves. They'd like to have two things: eternal life later, and then right now, my life right here. That's the left hand. Everyone's going to take out of his left hand. Even Christians don't want any more. Just, you know, just God would forgive me, I'd be pretty happy. Didn't come just to forgive you. He could forgive you. The Jewish people had forgiveness. They could sin against the law and then get judgment and then perish. Or they could do a lamb and then stave that off a little bit. The Jews had forgiveness for their sins. Just take a lamb or a goat or a bull or a turtle live or something. That's not why he came. He came that you would already have eternal life right now in you. You are already a new creation. And your body hasn't perfect. It's not perfect. Your soul is not dead yet. So you don't have those right now. So he is the only one that has total control of that. You can't make him do what you want. You can't make him. And if you do it, you didn't. If you do a good work, you didn't do it. So whatever you think is good, well, at least I should show appreciation. He doesn't want you to show appreciation. He doesn't want you to change. Doesn't want you to do anything. And anything he does after you're a Christian with a new heart, he did that. He perfected you. He did the good work, so how can he now be confused and say, did I do anything good for that person? Everything that he did was his own work. So he's judging his own work, and that's how you get to heaven. Because she owed a debt, and you couldn't pay it. But he paid it for you, and then any improvement would have to be from him also. And any walking and being like him, that would have to be a gift also. So everything God gives is a gift, 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 and it's not deserved. So when God loves us and he wants you to be perfect, he has to do everything. He has to do everything. He has to do everything. You can teach this all day long, but people don't still understand it. Because what they want is a happy life here. What they want is hedonism. They want the American dream. That's why this gift, even if you shared this gift, it would be Jesus. Even if you shared this gift with somebody, hey, you know, God will forgive you. They really don't really care about that. They like sinning. Everybody here is a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, let's read on. The next verse, anyone just can read. You have the next verse, 27.
They said, therefore, unto the parents.
Read loud. So
they said, therefore, unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?
Well, that's not what mine says. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you have.
Oh, sorry. John 6. It's 5.
6:27.
6:27. Labor not.
Yes.
Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed.
Okay, so Jesus is sealed for this ministry of giving you eternal life. He has life in himself. Nobody here has life in himself. Your life is derivative. It derivates from someplace. It has a source somewhere in Jesus Christ. So if you have a relationship with him, he gave you that. If you have a relationship with him, he gave you that relationship. So it's easy because he's made it so easy that you can't help him. That's how easy it is that you can only sin. If you do something, it'll be sinful. But if God does it all, it's perfect. It's perfect. And so you have children so that they might be like you, but they can't be you. You want children, even spiritual children, so that they can be like you, but they can't be you. So you are unique. No one else is like you, which is a gift.
And right.
There's no one else like you. But God will give you his own life. He's not giving you stuff, feeding you. He's not feeding the 5,000. He's not doing anything like that. He wants you to have the eternal life that's in him. The Father has the eternal life. The Holy Spirit has the eternal life. And Jesus has the eternal life. And that's all they want to give to you, and that's why they sent Jesus. So why did Jesus come? To give us eternal life. That you may. You don't have to take it. Many people don't take it. The majority do not take this. Because they want this world. They don't want the next world. This is labor not for the what?
Meat.
Food. The meat. The nourishment that perishes. Bread, regular bread from Mrs. Baird's or whoever you buy it from, regular bread is not eternal life. It's just bread. And then it just goes through you and that's it. I mean, it's not going to nourish you. It may keep you alive for a day or two, but he gives you something that is life eternal and no one can take it from you. No one can take it from you. Because the minute you meet him, you're dead to yourself. You're dead to yourself because you know I couldn't have done that. I would have just my biological life and then I lose that and then it's over. But you have eternal life. No one can ever take that away. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That is a gift, and I don't even know about it. I didn't even know there was such a thing. The whole world's always looking for eternal life. In other words, we try not to be old so that we die. But after a while, you get old. Does anyone notice that? I mean, you get older, and boy, you don't function. For example, I hardly slept for the last 2 weeks. And all kinds of reasons why. But the food, the water, you know, all kinds of things. And I was supposed to take iodine with me to put into the water so that it'd be drinkable. But it was in a little plastic bag and it was all spilled out and gone. And so, don't tell Julia, because she gave me that. Make sure you put this in your water, one drop per liter. And so I got the water, but I didn't have anything to drop into it. So I was afraid to drink the water. So I stayed up all night. Anyway, but it's good. How many know God sustains you?
Amen.
Yes.
And whatever God you want, you need, God will take care of it.
Yeah.
My God shall supply. Oh. So, even though I didn't have any sleep or anything, and when I came home yesterday, I slept for 12 hours or 11 and a half, whatever. And I just fell down to sleep. Because being home, I can drink the water, I can eat the food, and I'll be all right. So, I'm happy. But I was happy the whole time. I functioned the whole time. Nobody, they sensed I had a sniffle or something like that. And I didn't have a sniffle. It wasn't a sniffle. It was I was totally dehydrated. And I was unable, but I don't know. I just didn't. I was excited the whole time. I was excited to do what I did. So every meeting we had was inspired. And the four of us that went were all Christians, so it was powerful. And we made a change in the government because we're speaking to members of parliament. That's not exactly the president. The president may be corrupt. Most presidents are. But they enter the race as, worth thousands or maybe millions. But when they come out, they're very wealthy. They're very well fixed. And so they're after the food that perishes. They're after, you either worship God or mammon. How many here worship mammon? That is, the love of money is the root of all evil. You work just for the money. And the more you get, the better you feel. But then all the troubles come when you do that. Because you don't have Jesus. You only need Jesus in this world. Once you get him, it's over. And so money does not direct me, nor does sleep, nor does anything else. I was directed by God, and I'm totally happy all the time. 28, who else wants to read that? 28. Oh, 6:28. John 6:28. Right. So, how can we pay you back, or how can we thank you for eternal life, or, what do I need to do? And here's his answer, 29, or wherever we are. 29. Who has?
To believe in the one he has sent.
Okay, so here's your work. Don't. Here's your work. What should we do to thank you or praise you or do something to please you? Just thank. Just believe. Don't do anything to please God. Doesn't everyone that you know want to be serious about Jesus? They're working. They're trying to do something to please him. How can you please the one that's almighty? How can you please God who wants to please you? How can you give somebody that has everything something? So what does it take to get a gift? How many works do you have to do to get a gift? None. It's not like Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. And he knows who's wicked and he knows who's nice. That's not God. You have a God that doesn't care if you're wicked or nice or you did anything. He loves you just the way you are. And any fixing up, he'll fix you. Otherwise, you don't have eternal life. But once he gives you eternal life, you're like God. And you're capable then of doing like God. You just can't be God. Does that make sense? So you can look like God, but they might even thank you for that, but it's not deserved. God never pays a wage. God has never and will never pay a wage. He's the one, whatever you owed, he supplied. Whatever you need, he supplies. So my God shall supply all your riches and glory. In other words, he has that from heaven. You don't need anything on earth to survive except what you need to survive, but he'll supply that. 29:30.
They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?
Yeah. If we don't work, what are you going to do? We need a sign or something. Next one. 31.
Our father was Abraham in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Okay. What kind of bread is from heaven that anyone could give you?
Lasting life.
Only the Son. Only the Son could give you eternal life. Your parents can't give it to you. No one can give you eternal life. Because it's only in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're the only ones that have it. Yeah. So they decided Jesus would go down, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. He'd come down. But you can't make that come down. You don't have any control. God, I really need it today. It won't work. You can tell him what you need, but it's going to be a gift. It'll not be something you pay for. In heaven, you don't have any money. Are you aware of that? So there's no money. Money's down here. But in heaven, there's no taxes, there's no money. Come buy and eat, you who have no money. So everything in heaven is you just, you know, wait for the Father to do it, because he's way ahead of you. He already knows what you need before you even ask for it. He just knows what you need. And everyone needs the same thing, eternal life. Because he has life in himself, and he doesn't give you stuff. He gives you himself. He doesn't give you stuff. What do kids want when they grow up? You. They would not say that, but they want just to be like you and know you. And a lot of parents are gone. They're working or whatever. So they're not allowed, you know, to even know their kids. And a lot of kids grow up, I never knew my dad, but he was always working or whatever. And so a lot of people are more interested in making money than they are in being with their family. I mean, it's a miracle that we're even here today. Because a lot of people are gone. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You still have God the Father. So you just teach your children about God the Father. But give them yourself as much as you can, but it'd be sinful anyway. But if you just give them Jesus Christ, you gave actually your true self, not the one that's biological. You gave him the true self, which is Christ in me is my true self. Amen. Me in Christ is my true self. Amen. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes.
32:32.
Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.
So, who is the true bread that comes from heaven?
Jesus.
We already know that answer. Because Jesus is going to be the answer for anything you say. So, I always taught my kids, if I ask you a question and you don't know the answer, just say Jesus and I'll accept it. So, it's like, I don't know. Well, just say Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus. Yeah, that's good. And so my kids always knew how, what I wanted, because I knew they didn't know that. And so I just told them that. Just say Jesus and I accept it. That's a good father. All you have to say is Jesus. That's it. Because that's way beyond father and mother.
Yeah.
Because little kids like to please their parents. And there's nothing you can do to give a parent anything. And so just thank them. Thank you. I love you, Mom. That's about it. That's a real relationship. And it doesn't end. It's all this world. You won't have any different father or mother. Okay? You can have stepmothers and all that kind of stuff. But you really are stuck. Now, I never knew my first father, biological father, till I was what? Piggy knows.
40s. In your 40s, I think.
Well, whatever. So whatever.
40s.
I didn't even know I had one till my mother said, "Well, you didn't have the two fathers, you know." Oh. Well, what do you mean? So she obviously slept around and had another one. Oh, what's his name? I didn't like that name. So it took us 2 years to figure out what the last name was. And then we found him. And he happened to live right next to Disney World in Florida. Kissimmee. And so that was a good deal because the kids always wanted to go to, you know, this world. they weren't interested in, you know, who your father was. But anyway, that was all four of, I guess we had all four, right? All four of the kids got to meet their real grandfather, not the second grandfather who didn't last long, or the third grandfather, and so on. They never knew that, but that was powerful. But I didn't even know I had that many fathers and sisters all over the place, and, you know, tons, big family. And so I didn't even know about that. Next verse, 33, or 32. Is it 32? No, it's 33.
For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
All right, so it's not a thing, it's a person. The bread of life is not perishable food. The bread of life is a person from heaven, God's only begotten Son. And he's the only one that can give you this eternal life. The Father could, but they chose Jesus, and so Jesus is the only one. And how many in the world know Jesus Christ? Very few. How many Christians know him? Very few. All they want from him is the left hand. They just want peace on earth, or happiness, or, you know, sanity, or something like that. That's not it. He didn't come for those reasons. He didn't come to make you happy. It's just a byproduct. I'm not happy. He's really not interested in that. He came to give you eternal life. Well, could you make me happy, right? No, he's not interested in that. Because he's going to give you himself, and you have a relationship with himself. When you have that, you don't need anything. You don't care about anything. Well, that takes a while. Young people, I mean, they don't... You can say God all day long, but they really are looking for stuff. They're looking for happiness or entertainment or, you know, something to distract them. But everyone is born to know God. Everyone that's born to know God. Nobody is seeking that. You can ask anybody in the world, well, are you seeking eternal life? Not really. You know, they're not. They just want to be have friends here and have good food and clothing and, you know, so on and so forth. But God doesn't care. He doesn't care about your sin. He only cares one thing. Did you hear my word? And did you believe that that's the reason God sent me? Is to know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Period. That's it. So everyone here is a believer. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Because this is not a church of 5,000 people or 50,000 people or 100,000 or 500,000. We just, all we can do is tell you the truth. And I'm not working to improve your life. If you have a problem, just tell Jesus. So don't ask me. I might have the answer, but I might not. Because how many know here we're not perfect yet? Someday we will be, but we'll look like it. But today, you just go by faith. Next one, 34.
Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread.
Okay, so I want this bread from heaven thing. But I don't know it's a he. So, Lord, since you're the he, give us this bread. eternal life, but it's not something you can earn. It's just a gift. Totally gift, Dan. And so your dad missed that a little bit because they thought they could actually be without sin in this world. And that caused a lot of problems in the family, but he wasn't aware of it because that's what the denomination taught him. Don't clean up the denomination. Just find so you get eternal life. But that's not the end. Eternal life is just the beginning. That's why it's 4, 5, and 6. If you don't have 4, you can't get 5. If you don't have 5, you can't get 6. So that's it. And then you do that, and it's over. So that's salvation. 3 things. 35.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. If he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst."
This is spiritual, isn't it? He says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger again. But he's not talking about bread, perishes bread. He's not talking about that. He's talking about heavenly nourishment. Once you get that, I will not take that from you. You might give it up, but I'm not taking it from you. You might give it up. And a lot of Christians start out, but then they end up in the world. Okay. He's not mad at you for doing that. He's just saying, you began in the spirit. Why are you now trying to perfect yourself in the flesh? I do all that. I don't want you to fix up. I don't want you to improve. Just be yourself. I'll take care of that. That you'd labor in that. Don't labor for this bread that perishes. Labor for this bread that you don't have to do anything for. That I can't believe anybody believe what I just said. But that's what it says. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not making it interesting. I'm just telling you what it says. You have eternal life. Why? Because Jesus came, and that's the only reason he came. Give you eternal life. But eternal life doesn't stop with the foundation. You're also the building, and you're also what you do and say from then on as a servant of the living God. And so that's what I teach. And I'm a happy servant. I'm not unhappy. I don't care if they don't feed me. I don't care if I don't have any water. I don't care if I sleep. I don't care about anything. I'm in love with Jesus, and that's it. So if you're looking for seeing it in this world, you're not going to see it. Nothing is ever going to look perfect until Jesus comes back the second time, right? Nothing. So you might look to people. Did you know that even Christians sin? Even your best friend. I mean, even people that you're close to, they sin. You have to be blind. You have to not see it. I only teach this. Do not judge another person. Just love them, pray for them, bless them, do good for them. Don't even see what you see. Say what God says. That's your brother. That's your sister. That's another human being. That's it. So if you do that, you'll be happy all the time. But if you look at their sin, you won't forget it. Well, I wish you weren't a rotten sinner. But they are. There is no such thing as sin is sin, whether it's rotten or unrotten. It's just sin. So, I wish, if you'd only do this, I would accept you. No, people don't have to do anything. I love people for what they are. I don't look at skin, I don't look at color, I don't look at, you know, that they like sports like I like sports. I don't look at anything. I just love people for who they are. You can be whatever you want to be, and I forgive you just like God does. But I didn't do that, Jesus did that. I didn't do that, Jesus did that. Next verse, 36. Whoever.
Okay, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not.
Okay, now he's talking to the Jewish people here. He's actually talking to the Jewish people. You think that in them you have eternal life, but it's they that bear witness to me. You think that the Old Testament, because you read the Bible and you tried your best to do what it said, I didn't give you the law to do it. I just gave you the law that you'd be guilty. I never gave you the law for you to do it. I gave it so I'd do it for you. Then I'd work it in you. Then I'd work it through you. That's all. So this Christianity is real easy to understand, but it's not real easy to like it. Because you just can't imagine. Well, I was just trying to help you out. God doesn't want your help. He doesn't need anyone's help. He created the universe without you, and he can fix it up without you. And he can give you heaven without you. So just let God be God. Just let God be God. 37.
All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.
Okay. If the Father gives me you, everyone here, there's nothing you can do to keep the Father from doing it. He's already done it. So there's nothing you can do to make it better. All you can do is thank him. That's what praise is all about, thanking God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. So when you come, it's not the building. The building is not sacred. It's just a building. It's not sacred. There is no such thing as sacred space. It's just the reason why we meet on Sunday is not because it's a law. The reason we meet on Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. That's the day he rose from the dead. It was just a remembrance. You're just remembering. But every day is heaven.
Amen.
I don't have Saturday or Friday or some day in the week. That's the Lord's. This is just his day, meaning 1,000 years. Or in this case, 3,000 years. Ever since he came, he's never left the earth. Even before he came, he was always on the earth. There was never a time that you created the world that Jesus wasn't here. You think, well, he was born of Virgin Mary. Yeah, but that's when it showed up. But he was always here. He always was before you. He always was behind you. He always was in front of you. He was everywhere. He's the cloud. He's everything that people really need is Jesus. And so this is his world. It's not yours. The devil has never controlled the world. Okay, he's controlled the world, people that are not born again. That world he controls. But we're not part of the world. You're a new creation. You're no longer part of the world. Culture is not, this is not your world. Culture is all sin, 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 sin. So don't try to find happiness in this world. You're not going to find it. So everyone wants to have happiness, but that's the future. But you can be happy today that that's your future because you have a heart that believes that. Faith cometh by hearing. Next verse, 37 or 8 or 9 or something. Maybe 39.
This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day.
So how much do you keep yourself?
Not at all.
Not at all. You don't keep yourself. Well, God, I'll try to be faithful. You can't. Well, I'll try not to sin anymore. You will. So that's silly. So since you cannot, Jesus is the only one that keeps you. And Jesus says that to the Father. I've kept them. I've given them your word. They believe your name. They trust in you. That's all. So everyone here has eternal life. You cannot get rid of it. Even if you say you don't believe, I don't know that that's true or not. How would I know? I don't even see people's hearts. So I can't judge anybody for doing anything or not doing anything. I don't judge them. I can't. Next verse, 40.
And this is the will of him.
Read loud so everyone can hear you.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son of God, the Son, and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
So, since you can't keep yourself, who's keeping you? Jesus. He knows exactly what he's done. He knows if he offers you a gift, if he took it. Because if you took it, that was his work too. And that's how you can tell. When you do something that you think, I think this was pleasing to God, but I didn't do it. Jesus did it, and he remembers that. So he's only going to judge his own work. He will never judge you for your work. So you might think, well, at least I'm better than her. At least I'm better than him. That's not true. You're not better than anybody, because you never were better. You just have no existence except you're related to the one that has life. And all he's wanted is to give you eternal life. That's all he's ever wanted. You have now everlasting life. So he makes it so easy. Because it's nothing that you do that makes it. No effort on your part. Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest.
Yeah. Mm.
I want you to rest. I want you to be happy for the moment I find you. I want you to be happy from then on. Without any cooperation. Don't be a redeemer or something. Just let Jesus do it all. He's real good. How are little kids? Little kids do nothing. You just love them because they're yours. Well, that's the way God looks at us. Everyone that God ever created, he loves them. Even if they do wrong, he still loves them. Because that's your son. That's someone that, whether they believe in you or don't believe in you, he's not worried about that. He's warning them. If you don't believe, that's a work that I did, but I did it. You didn't do it. So if you just hang on to the fact that Jesus is hanging on to you, that's all it is, passive. I just believe God loves me. I don't think I'm that much of a lover, but I think he loves me perfectly. He's the only one that can do that. So now, 41. This is your hope.
The Jews then murmured at him because he said, on the bread which came down from heaven.
So, this is the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, and once he came down, he's still here. How many know that even though he left and went to the Father, he's still in your heart?
Amen.
He didn't just come down and leave us. In fact, he said that, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's amazing. Since he likes you, since he's on your side, since he put his signature on you when you were conceived, he can't change his mind. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Wow. And he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're a king or a street sweeper. He doesn't care if you died 2 seconds later. He loves everybody. He never hated anybody. That's what I like about God. He's the only thing in this world that won't end. Everything in this world could end, but not for you and I. You are eternally his. That's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Glory
to God.
This is such a silly message because it doesn't make any sense to anybody. It's such a silly message that this silly message is not. It's got everything in it, but it basically tells you, you've been crucified with Christ. The second he died, you died. Now you'll never die again. I didn't do anything. I didn't even help him. I didn't even know about it. But now it comes by hearing, and I believe it. Well, I didn't believe that. God did that. I didn't repent. God did that. I didn't want him to feed me 5,000 men or whatever. I didn't do anything. But he just wants me to have it. I like a God that wants me to flourish. I don't know why. It's just like, it's unbelievable. Because I don't know if I'd like anybody like me. But Jesus seems to have no, he just seems to have nothing, he's He's not even interested in my sins. I already died for that. How many years ago did Jesus die for your sins?
2,000. Oh, since the beginning.
From the beginning of the foundation of the earth, before that he was slain from the foundation of the world. So 6,000 years ago, and now you're already in the 7,000th, and that's it. Do you understand it? You don't have to understand it. You just read it and just relax and laugh. I don't know how it works. I mean, it seems like the Old Testament saints had more miracles than we do. You know, walking on water, you know, giving the law. Let's have a few of those these days, God. Let's have some things on earth. But God just said, don't worry about that. I take care of that without your helping me out.
For sure.
And I want to help him. God, did you see what's happening right there? You probably are not looking. But I'm here to help you. I don't think God wants that. Just relax. Don't fix the world. Don't fix it up. Now, I know everybody's busy fixing up your home, wearing the clothes that won't embarrass you, and so on and so forth. But the truth is, God's not interested in all that. He just wants your heart. Does he have your heart? Everybody here can say yes. He has my heart. I didn't do anything. I can't believe he would do that. That's why God is God and you're not. Because you can't do it. You can't even comprehend it. Why would a holy God want an unholy person in his team? Right? I mean, why would I'm not the person you should choose. But he chose me. Teresa just chose you. Just said, you're mine. That's it. Next verse. Where am I? I forget where I am. 42?
Yeah.
And they said, it is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?
Okay. 43.
Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves.
In other words, don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't fix anything up. Leave it be. How many know God is totally in control of this world? I mean, you have to know this. He's not said, well, I hope they cooperate. He doesn't want you to cooperate. He's in total control, and nothing is done on earth that he doesn't approve of. Now, he doesn't want you to do it, but he had to approve of it. You wouldn't do it. If he could kill you in a second, but he decided not to. You know, once you sin, it's over. Just one sin will keep you out of heaven. So one sin on earth has to be punished. But he can forgive everybody. Not worried about that. Because he wants to do it himself, and all you can do, thanks. That's all you can do. Well, thank you. It's amazing. 42 or 3 or wherever we are. 44.
Can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
Okay. You can't come to God. Huh?
You still have.
Is there more?
And I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay. There's no way that you can fulfill that verse. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draws him. So since you can't draw yourself to Jesus, don't be surprised when someone says, I don't think I can do that. Of course they can. So they're accurate. Yeah, well, I can't do that. I don't think I could love him with all my heart. I think I half love him. He's not a man that has thinking like you think. He just says it perfectly. And since he did it all, it's already been done. So you can't make him come down and you can't make him go up. You can't do anything to help him. That is peaceful. I mean, to me, that's peaceful. I don't even understand it, but I like it. It just sounds like it's for me. I'm going to take it. I'm just going to take it. Right? I mean, it sounds good to me. I'll take it. If it was bad, I wouldn't want it. But it sounds like everything God has ever said was good news. Since everything he said is good for you, Teresa, Raul.
Cynthia.
What?
Cynthia.
Cynthia. Sorry about that. Well, at least it has an SA or something like that. Sorry about that. She probably forgave me. Didn't even notice that. I have the biggest congregation that can forgive the pastor for being an idiot. Praise God. All right. 45.
44.
Four, wherever we are.
No, it's 45.
Yeah,
45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
That's it. So everything that's written in the Bible is absolutely true. You can't find any other piece of literature that's absolutely true. Not the Constitution, nothing. That's all man-made. This is the only book in the world that tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's why I like to read it. Because it's true, and it's beneficial to me. There's nothing there that I can mess it up. I can't mess up the Bible. I mean, I can misunderstand it, but I can't mess it up. It still is there. And it's all for me. Everything that you've ever wanted is in this book. Jesus. Jesus. Next verse. 47, I think.
46.
46? Sorry.
Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father.
That's very good, Cynthia. Very good. I'm not altogether stupid. All right. So this next one is only a few words. 48.
I am the bread of life.
I am. When you say I am, that's who you are. I am. For example, I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the dwelling place of life. I can say all those because the Bible says it. So it's not wrong for me to say it. Next verse. 49.
47.
Whatever it is. All right.
Believe God, I'll say to you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life.
That's it.
Amen.
It's as simple.
Amen.
I just like that verse right there.
Amen.
It's so simple. There's nothing to it.
Nothing to it.
All right, next verse. Powerful, powerful. If Christ is the bread of life, and that's all I got to do is believe in that, it's done. There's nothing more to do. What is then worship? It's just thanking him every Sunday. Praising him every Sunday. It's just loving him. Gosh. I mean, how can a church be unhappy? Next verse.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and man shall not die.
So, this is the manna, the true manna, not the manna that they ate. This is the real manna. It's Jesus Christ. Your fathers did eat this manna, and they're dead. But this is the true bread, which comes down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and never die. You will never die. I don't know why you should shout. Yahoo! I mean, it's amazing. You're never going to die. You could die biologically, but you can't die spiritually.
Yes.
And the only one that counts is the spiritual one. You know, you're born twice, so you only die once, biologically. But you don't die ever, you know, never. You just live forever. I like it. Next verse. 51.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give to the life of the world.
What's he talking about there? The bread that I shall give is my flesh. Because Jesus was born of Mary, so he has a flesh that could die. So that's what he's talking about. I'm going to die for you. He hadn't done it yet. I'm going to die for you. And if you believe in that, that in my dead flesh, you live. That's ridiculous. How can he die and then I live? That doesn't make any sense at all. So don't try to brain think about it in your brain, because your brain can't think about it. I just know what it says. When he dies, I died. And so therefore I can never die again. That's it. But he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritually. I'll live forever because his death was my life.
Amen.
I'm eating that nourishment bread. That's the bread from heaven.
Amen.
So what came from heaven? Jesus. Nothing else. Not an angel, not, you know, Gabriel or whatever. Just he came. He was born of Mary, and he's my Savior now, my Lord, my bridegroom, my everything. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's pretty exciting.
Lord.
Next verse, 54, what? Yeah, 53. 52, okay.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
Yeah. How can he say, we're not cannibals, so what's he talking about? This is spiritual. It's not a cannibal. Eating his flesh is communion.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's bread and then there's wine. The wine, you know, is this blood being shed, and the bread is my nourishment. This is the manna that doesn't come from earth. That wine you're going to drink, when you drink the wine we celebrate with, that's just wine. But we dedicate it to God because we know someday we're going to beat the new wine, and when we're married, that'd be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, we don't see that, and we don't see the true manna. We saw Jesus, but you'd have to look through his flesh, and then he dies. That's your life. You'd have to look through that to see it. So that's what it's talking about. Next verse, 53.
Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Okay, so every one of us has had communion. But that is not the real thing. That's just the written word. And we did drink of it and eat it and so on. But we believe that we're actually eating Jesus and being nourished by Jesus. So don't try to think about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But if he says it, I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. And it is peaceful.
Because he died.
It's peaceful. I'm not worried about death. Okay, if you go overseas like I did, and you go to places where they're killing one another and all that kind of stuff, you could be a little bit scared. In fact, of the four men, I asked one of them to be my roommate because these guys were 5'2", 5'4", and then we met a guy there that was a foot taller than that. These are 7-footers. These are big people. Where we were just big meats. So I'll show you because I have a picture. We didn't bring it today. But I have a picture of that tall, really tall guy. And then the guy that's 6'4", which is here. And he's a church member, by the way. And then me down here. I wish David Halverson were there. But you know what? I was not really afraid. But I didn't want to be in a room alone, have some, you know, people come in and, you know, kill me or something like that. Because if you have a choice, you can either become a Muslim or die. And, you know, I think I have to say no.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do one or the other. I'm going to live forever because of Jesus. But anyway, so I felt good, even though I didn't need that. We had a policeman also on it from Dallas, and he also was great. He lives close to here. He lives in Not Garland, but maybe closer in or something. Joe Harn. Anyway, but he was awesome. Every one of us was a believer, and it was joyful for us. Joyful. Next verse.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Now, can you see that Jesus, knowing English and knowing, you know, Hebrew and whatever, he said this knowing that they're going to be confused. He knows if he says this, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he knows somebody's going to be confused on that. So don't look at it and say, gee, I wouldn't have said that. I would have explained it. Jesus didn't want to explain it because he has authority. So he just said it. Wow. That's a good God that he doesn't have to explain himself. It just, whatever I say, that's it. Okay. I accept it. And so when I believe, that had to have to be a gift. Because how can I believe something like that? Yeah. It sounds like cannibalism to me or something. If you drink my blood and eat my flesh. And a lot of religions are built on something like that.
Right.
But here Jesus is not making it clear. But now as a Christian, it's clear to me. It's just, I don't know, whatever he says, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to believe it. Next verse.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
That's it. Next verse.
He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.
Right. So, this is the unity you have with Jesus. Everybody here, whether you know it or not, you're linked up with Jesus. Everybody. I don't know how it works. I just know he'll never leave you. He's going to never forsake you. He cannot, because he can't lie. Next verse. 57, I think.
As the living Father hath sent me, and live by the Father, so he that feeds me, even he shall live by me.
And that's eternal life. That's not regular life, bios. So, as soon as you hear his words, just that's you. I don't have to even try to get it. I just get it. Faith comes by hearing. I like it because there's nothing you do. It's like little kids. What do they do to become like you? Nothing. They just watch your smile. They watch how you talk English or Spanish or whatever you talk. And they learn it. I'm always marveling that little Chinese kids can learn all those 2,000, you know, characters or something. And they're just pictures and so on. But they learn it. And they just say their stuff. And I'm like, wow, I don't think English people can do that. I marvel because they're little bitty kids. And I'm like, how can you do that? But every little kid learns their parents' language. They do. It's amazing. Next verse. 59 or 58, whatever it is.
These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum.
All right. Now I want to drop down and we're going to quit with this one. 63.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life.
Yeah. And again, you can't check that out. Your brain can't comprehend that. So the words that he say are spiritual words. They're not our words. But he's using the same words that we can translate into our languages. But they're just ordinary words. But he says they're spiritual. Okay. So I believe it. And I'm totally happy. I don't have to do any thinking about this. That's what my father said. I'll learn that word. I'm going to learn that word and repeat it. So if you just repeated these words that Jesus says, people can get saved. People can get healed. People people can get set free.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. So I don't see any problems in this world. I don't see any problems in this world. I don't have any stake in it. I don't have any investment in it. I'm not trying to do what he's already done. So I just trust him. All right. Who has a testimony?
Well, I just love this. I just love this. I mean, the Lord put this word on in my mind, scurrying. We are all scurrying about trying to please God, and especially coming from the Catholic Church like I did, and I was talking to my sister today.
Right.
There's so many little things that they do,
right,
and I used to do, and I thought, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary. It's too.
It's so
wonderful. I wish it were more complex. Maybe people would like it better, but it's just so simple. It's just like crazy. But I like it. I have that peace. Who else? Testify.
So I got a good report from Jack. His mom, her pain, she's asleep, and her pain is diminished greatly.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Who else? Who else has a good testimony?
I was able to see my son that he came down, so that was a blessing.
Yeah.
We went on vacation and
really oh, good.
Time together. But on our way in, it was. I always find this cool because every time we read the Bible in the morning, as we're flying over here really quickly because we used to get up late, always seems to echo exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Since this morning we were reading through Matthew.
Yeah.
And Peter had just said, Jesus asked him, you know, who am I? He says, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. He says, God gave that to you. Your flesh and blood did not give that to you.
Yeah.
The very next second, he says, but I'm going to die. And then the devil used Peter's flesh to go, no, you don't want to die, because he was trying to save his flesh.
Right.
Which is basically what you're really saying.
That's right.
Well, God says this, but then your flesh wants to save other flesh.
Right.
But that's not what God said. And then he didn't really rebuke Peter. He rebuked the devil that was
Peter. Yeah.
Which I thought was a blessing.
Blessing. Great blessing. Yeah. It's powerful. Who else? Always make it up if you can't think of anything good, because it's good. It's too good to be true.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Amen.
It's too good to be true.
I just did it.
All right. Are you ready for communion, Peggy?
He's saying something.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm just grateful that the Lord is who He is in my life.
Yes.
As I'm starting to hear him,
right,
in me doing something for somebody,
right,
I'm able to portray to them that I didn't really want to do this for you. It's the Lord's doing this for you.
Wow.
This is from God. He's
yeah.
Woke me up this morning to do this for you.
Right.
And it's been a blessing to me too.
Right.
Sometimes I'm lazy, I don't feel like doing anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, it's powerful. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
It's so sweet. But you don't realize, but it's in the Bible. Everybody in the world is going to someday say, Jesus is Lord. They're going to bow the knee and they're going to confess Jesus is Lord. If that's true, you don't have to even ask where people are or what they're thinking or whatever. Just start preaching the gospel and be hated or misunderstood or whatever. But do it, because the harvest is ripe, he said. If the harvest is ripe in Dallas, it's ripe in Fort Worth, it's ripe in southern Sudan, it's ripe everywhere we go. So why hold it up? Sometimes you're just sitting on a bus and you say something and they're ready to be a believer, but you don't even know it.
Right.
But they're ready. So you say, is there anything I could pray for you? And boom, they might say, yeah, I'd like to have the faith you have. Boom. So don't think this is a hard harvest. It's real. The harvest is ripe. I mean, it's ready for picking. So don't say, well, it's hard these days because millennials are this and that. That's not in the Bible.
That's right.
There's nothing like that in the Bible. It says it's easy. The harvest is ripe. It's ready. Just put your sickle in and
Amen.
Get a harvest. Amen?
Amen.
I had several people in both of the groups that we taught to, and they were needing healing. And so, yeah, let's do it right now. So we just stood up and held their hand. One was the chief of police. I mean, he was the head guy of the whole country. And so he said, because he saw me praying for somebody else's left knee, and he had it in the right knee. So he said that. So he came to me quietly, because he's the chief of police. Didn't want to look weak. He said, could you do that for me? And so he's like a child. He just said, I'm a believer too. I would like that. So we prayed for him. He was just radiantly happy after that.
Praise God.
I mean, he was so serious, because he's chief of police. He was so serious. But all of a sudden you did that, he was happy. So that was exciting.
Thank you, Lord.
So God is good. Wherever you go, someone's ready.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Always ask Jesus, but don't be afraid of making a mistake.
Praise God. Amen.
All right. You want to pray for us? Please.
Amen.
Amen.